big topic lately online is using your children as content. And
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you said that. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say on this topic. Good,
yeah,
good. Oh God, this
so
is great.
this is like a very new thing that people are finally having this aha moment that kids are not content. And you know, a few months ago there was this challenge going on TikTok called the egg crack challenge, where kids were like, parents were like cracking an egg on children's faces, and the kids were like, sometimes they were crying and sometimes they were like so shocked, like, why would mommy do that to me? Like, why that hurt? Why would you do that, mommy? And so people were doing it as, you know, as part of this challenge, this, you know, way to sort of get like eyeballs and attention and clout online. And it made a lot of people say, wait a second, is that really how we want to treat our children? Not only in our own home, but like publicly, you know, like that's going out there for thousands, millions of eyeballs, right? And it's like, let's take a step back and think more intentionally about our children, how we treat them, A, and B, you know, that you're putting that out there and that's going to live on the internet forever.
Welcome to Parenting Teens Today with Jessie LeBeau.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here another week. So excited for an amazing guest. And we have the incredible, the amazing, the absolutely can't believe she's here, Miss Tara Clark, the founder of Modern Mom Probs. So, what a crazy, just a crazy thing that you created here. Before we totally just jump into that, can we get like the origin story? Like if you were a superhero that created the Modern Mom Probs, how did this all begin? Where did you grow up? I know you were sharing a little bit earlier with me, started on the East Coast, which for a person that grew up in Alaska, it's like when I go to the East Coast, I'm like, I might as well be in China. I don't know how far things are from each other in the colleges and the towns. So what was it like growing up for you, and how did that lead you to where you are today?
Sure. So I'm originally from New Jersey, Northern New Jersey, and I've been in the Northeast my entire life. Although before we jumped on, we said how much I love Arizona and Phoenix is my happy place, Sedona's my happy place, but haven't made my way to live there yet. And I say yet because that's a
Still
growth
time.
mindset. Yes. So I'm from the Northeast. We lived in New York City for 10 years. I worked at Nickelodeon, and I actually was a social media manager. I was actually Dora the Explorer on Facebook years and years ago, like 12 years ago. And I had my son then in 2012, and then I stayed home full time to be with him full time. And when he was about three, I wanted to start an Instagram account. And I said to my friends and family, I'm going to start an Instagram account about parenting. And at that time, no one was really doing it so much. Most people were like, I mean, on Instagram, you were taking pictures of your latte or your salad or something like that. And on Facebook, you were checking in at the gym, you know, but there was not much talk about parenting on social, or at least on Instagram. So I started my account in 2016. And then in 2017, I actually changed the name to Modern Mom Probs. And then the account just took off from there. And the reason why I changed the name is that we had moved from New York City to the suburbs, and my account was based more about like living in the city and being a parent in New York City. And then I was like, gosh, I don't have New York City mom problems anymore. I am now a suburban mom. And so I changed the name to Modern Mom Probs. And like I said, the account just took off from there. But when I started the account, it was very heavily focused on humor. And then as it evolved and as the years went by, I introduced more conversations about true modern mom problems that are affecting mothers, whether it's postpartum depression or anxiety or miscarriage. I mean, anything that sort of falls underneath the umbrella of a modern mom problem, I'm going to talk about. And sometimes they're funny and sometimes they're serious. And I'm just happy that we have a platform to be able to talk about all the things.
She's absolutely incredible. So you breezed over a couple of things. I want to reverse back to it here real quick.
Sure.
Dora the Explorer is one of the biggest shows, wasn't it? I mean, that's
Yeah,
huge. And so
it was
you
huge.
were running the Facebook account.
Right. I was running social for Nick Jr. and Nick at Night at the time. And gotcha. So this was actually even pre-Instagram. At that point, we were just doing Facebook and Twitter.
Gotcha. Facebook and Twitter on there. And was that kind of the heyday when Facebook, like everyone, you know, was on there and going super hard? So yes. You were able, amazing. And did that kind of, the things that you learned and how you saw how you could grow and people get excited, you were able to take those skills and be like, hey, I could do this, but for something that's not someone else's show, but my own IP and something that I'm passionate about. Is that kind of was the thinking?
That's exactly what it was. Yep.
Wow. So for you, it was super intentional. Like a lot of these times with influencers and people who amass these big followings, because I was looking on before here, you're on your way to a million.
I hope so. Like, someday we'll see.
how far out do you think that is? Is that a 6 months, a 1 year, a 2 year?
I don't know. I don't like to speculate because I'm more into building the community and, you know, being in touch with my audience. So I don't know. Someday I hope.
Yeah. Well, 800,000 is a lot of moms to be able to have an impact on their life. And for you, when you started it, you knew, was it just something that you kind of wanted to do to have, like you said, the humor, the memes, the like relatable suburban mom stuff? Or did you have like a bigger vision of like, hey, if I build this amazing community that you've built, that you can go into these more serious subjects and help people in such a meaningful way?
At first I definitely wanted to do it for the humor, but I did have the intention of building it out. And I remember saying to my friends and family that if someday I hit 25,000 followers, I'm going to monetize this account and do something with it. And my friends were like, okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And so then that obviously came and went. And then I just realized that I was sort of onto something and I was able to build more onto the platform and reach more people in different ways.
And the name of the account for everyone watching and listening to this right now is @ModernMomProbs.
Yes. Yep.
Perfect.
I shortened problems to probs just because if I typed it out, it was a lot. So I try to save people extra keystrokes.
Yeah. Trying to save days of their lives here, typing it in. So, wow, this is so fascinating. And I am curious, you said the growth. How, because in 2016, your friends are like, okay, 25K, like whatever, Tara, like good luck with that.
There wasn't, yes, that was exactly what it was. Yeah. That was exactly, they're like, yeah, okay, good luck with that one.
Yeah, but how fast did it take off? Like what was it that you kind of saw? Was there a certain thing that happened? Something went viral consistently over time? Curious just about the growth.
Yeah, it was definitely consistently over time. So in 2016, like I said, I had the smaller account under a different name. 2017, I changed the name to Modern Mom Problems. And then it just simply resonated with people. And then it just went wild from there. And so it was consistently posting. It was consistently writing things that people were interested in, posting things that people were interested in. And then the algorithm was very kind to me. So it was not one particular viral thing that just went like that. It was just like showing up every day and grinding and putting the work in time after time, you know, over the course of 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing like this happens by accident. You know, sometimes on the outside, we can look at it and be like, oh, right time, right place. And it's like, no, there was so much that was very orchestrated and very, very thought of in advance. Now I have to ask, the sense of humor that you have, where did this come from? Were you always someone that was very funny? Did you have a comedy background? Were you class clown? Yeah. Where did this come
from? No, gosh, that is a good question. I wasn't class clown, but I think in high school I did receive something like, you know, most outgoing. So I feel like that sort of kind of goes with it. I am obviously a very gregarious person. I'm very upbeat. I'm very positive. I have a lot of energy. So I guess maybe that sort of feeds into it a little bit. But as far as the humor, I don't know. I was just very good at writing one-liners. I'm terrible at telling jokes. Don't ask me to tell a joke. Yeah. I will butcher it. And I don't mean to, but that's just how I am. But I'm very good at being, you know, what is considered a mom humorist or writing one-liners. And when I was at Nickelodeon, they had launched an account, I guess it was sort of like a brand called Nick Mom, where they were writing mom jokes. And this was actually before I even became a mother. So I sort of dipped my toe into that even before I was a parent myself. Nick Mom actually no longer exists. I think they put that sort of brand to bed. But that was my first taste and foray into mom jokes and mom humor.
Yeah. And isn't that, and this is something you would know, I feel like, isn't the mom audience like the most desired audience for most like advertisers? Because it's the ones that make the decision for the family. They usually have a little bit of money and career and those types of things. So like advertisers are just dying to get with this mom audience. So it was a great fit all around for all these reasons.
It was, exactly. So like I said, I had the experience at Nickelodeon. I took some time off to raise my son. I mean, I'm still raising my son, but at that time he was a baby. And so I took some time off for him. And then I wanted the creative outlet. And so when he was three, I had a lot of comedic material to use because toddlers are funny inherently. There's a lot of content there. And so that's when I launched the account. So yes, I have to say that being in the parenting space is really a great space to be in.
Yeah, and such a important space with what you're doing now. And I want to get into that as well. So since it's modern mom probs, I want to ask you this question. This is actually a question that I ask most people that I have conversations with that are experts in their niche here. For you, parenting today, the modern mom problems versus 20 years ago, 30 years ago, do you think it is more difficult to be a parent or a mom today than it is in the past?
I don't want to say that anything is harder or easier, but I could definitely speak to that on a couple different aspects. So let me start it with this. One, parenting today is challenging because we lack the in-person village that previous generations had. So let's say 50, 60 years ago, families may have been larger. So you had more sisters to call on. You had your aunts to call on, maybe your mother and your grandmother and everyone, and even the neighbors, everyone sort of came together to truly raise each other's children. So you weren't as isolated. So nowadays, families tend to be more isolated. They may be smaller. You may not have siblings, sisters-in-laws to call on to be able to watch the kids. And of course, I'm saying sisters, but yes, I mean fathers and husbands and everyone too, family members in general. So the families may be smaller. We live further away from each other, and it is very isolating. You don't know, you know, who to ask the right questions to. So many times you pick up your phone and you ask Dr. Google, and then now you're like knee deep in information overload and your mind is spinning for all of those different things. And so that's one of the things that makes it really tricky. And then also similarly, loneliness is a really big issue for modern parents as well, going back to the fact that we are so isolated from each other. So those are two of like the main things that I see nowadays. And then, you know, throw in social media and the comparison trap where, you know, you're seeing this person and they have this beautifully curated, flawless life and you're feeling jealous and you're feeling less than, and you're seeing that sort of on a mass scale because there are so many accounts, there's so much content out there that's reflecting that. And so people tend to feel bad about themselves, but when they sit down and really have other conversations with people, they realize like many people feel that way, right? You're not alone, right? You're not alone in any of these things. So those are just some of the modern mom problems that I tend to think about.
Isn't it funny? I feel like so often a lot of the things that people say go back to like these old sayings and maybe it's old wives sayings, ironically enough, but it takes a village to raise a child. And that's kind of what's missing in this digital age. And we have this thing here, this phone that's supposed to connect us with everyone around us. And then, like you said, so many people are struggling with loneliness when here we are supposed to be connected, but we're comparing ourselves and getting in that trap. That is what I think is so cool about having a community like you've built, is like, yes, it's a difficult time. You're learning new things. Maybe this is your first experience with it, but you can find other people that are going through that exact same thing who can relate to your stories. They'll find some humor in the difficult times as well. I love it. I'm curious, was there a moment for you that you had like a why moment? I'm always curious with that with people. For me, I had this thing where I was traveling around playing basketball, and I was getting to do it with some of my childhood idols that I watched on TV. And it was like this, there was a moment when it happened in my hometown. It was like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing more than just playing basketball in these games. And it's so much fun and I'm having a blast, but I could do something that's more meaningful. And so you are starting this thing and you're having this moment where was there like a moment where you're like, hey, I've built this and curated this awesome audience instead of just making them laugh, which also is great for their happiness and their soul. I could dive into some of these topics and maybe they're messaging you, asking you for help on these things. Did you have a why moment that comes to mind?
Absolutely. I don't know if there's like one particular moment on like an exact day, but there was definitely an evolution of the account and of the community where I went from talking about much more lighthearted things to much more serious things. And when I can be vulnerable and share my own personal stories, people say, yes, thank you. Like I went through the same thing. Thank you for speaking about that. Because before my son was born, we had some infertility issues. And first of all, no one was really talking about that on social media at the time. And we felt so alone. You know, that goes back to the village, right? We felt so alone. We felt like we were the only people going through that issue. And that's simply not the case. And so now if we're able to, you know, have these stories, have these conversations, have this narrative out there where other people say, yes, me too. Like now I feel seen. And that's probably, you know, that is my why. That's why I do it. When people say, I feel seen, this resonates with me, any of those things, like, yes, that's what makes me wake up each morning and continue to want to do it. Or if I ever meet people in person, I mean, that doesn't happen very often, but occasionally it does. If I see someone and they say like, thank you so much. I love your account. You made me smile. You know, I love everything you're doing. Keep it up. Like, yeah, that's wonderful. That's what keeps me going.
Pretty amazing. Do you have one like success story of a person that came up to you or something that you maybe haven't shared before? Because sometimes those things you're like, I don't want to tell everyone like all the great, I'm such a great person. I do all these amazing things. I'm changing lives. But is there one that stands out and we can brag a little bit with you today? Because I think as much as like, I don't these days, like when people are filming themselves, feeding the homeless or doing, it's just like, just go. And I've done that before. I've for sure have done things like that. It's like 90% of the time, if you could just do it. And if sometimes for content, you're using it to spread a good message or something, then that's good. But do you have one that comes to mind this morning?
I do. I have a friend. She started out as like an acquaintance on social, and we developed a friendship, and she had struggled with substance abuse. And I was there for her, and you know, through our conversations and just always like showing her support, she was able to get clean and she remains clean. And so I think that was something that was such a huge win. And like anytime she's like, oh, Tara, I love you so much. Like, thank you for everything. Like, thank you for being there for me. Like, you're a light, you're an inspiration, you're my energy, you're like all of those things. And I'm just glad that I was able to have the opportunity to help her when she really needed it.
Isn't it funny? And you don't necessarily need to be a licensed clinical social worker or a psychologist or a doctor. And all those things are great and amazing. But I've found just having someone that genuinely cares and takes the time to listen and a person can feel and connect with that. And I just encourage everyone, like, you never know. I was at a school in Chicago last week, talking to the kids there. And we had this kind of vulnerable moment. Like, you never know like what someone else is going through. And then, you know, in fact, I want you guys to come up and share, if you're going through something tough right now and you could use some support. And the kids came up and they said, it's too private to share, but they said the most difficult things that a young teen girl and young teen boy can go through. And they were open. And the coolest thing is 10 to 15 girls from a different school, because it was a mix of schools, came up and were hugging that girl and loving on her and giving her their number and to be friends and supporting each other. And all they have is love in their heart and wanting to connect and care for someone. And that can absolutely transform someone's life. So I just love that you're doing that. And I want to applaud you for that. You got not only this amazing account that's doing all this stuff. But then comes along the book or the podcast? Which one comes first, and how does that all play into this thing that you've built, this machine?
Yeah. The machine. Yeah. So the book came first. The book happened. It was funny. I was featured in a local magazine in 2019. And then someone had reached out to me, an editor had reached out to me and said, you know, like this concept, everything that you're doing here would be a great book. Like, have you ever considered writing a book? And I thought, well, no, at this point I hadn't considered it, but like, should I? And he's like, yes, you should. So this gentleman had hooked me up with his literary agent because he was an editor, but he was also an author. So he hooked me up with his literary agent, and then she shopped my proposal around the spring of the pandemic. So like just as the pandemic was hitting, I got a book deal, which from a timing perspective probably was like the worst timing that you could imagine because like the bookstores were closed. So I wrote my book the summer of 2020. It came out April of 2021. And then my podcast launched April of 2022. So April seems to be a big month for me. So yeah.
Big month. So the book and the title is
Modern Mom Probs, A Survival Guide for 21st Century Mothers. So in it, I go through 99 different problems, and I say I have 99 problems, but motherhood ain't one. Thank you.
Very New York of you.
Very New York of me, of course. Repping Jay-Z. So I talk about 99 different things, but they're not all serious and they're not all funny. It goes from, you know, postpartum depression to infertility to having a messy car to having too much sand in your car after a day at the beach, you know, like all the different things. And so just like my account, it sort of runs the gamut of both funny and sweet and inspiring and positive and gives you the warm feels, but it also gives you information because I think, you know, what good would a survival guide be without solid information?
Yeah. I feel like anytime you can package it in a fun where it's not all just because it's so hard and our brains, I feel like have changed thanks to all of social media and how the world is today.
So like, true.
I used to get a lot of my news from like the comedy shows, you know, whether it was the Jon Stewart, the Daily Show back in the day, or now on YouTube. It's like, yeah, I want a guy that's got a good sense of humor that can laugh about what's going on, like how crazy it is. Because if we don't laugh, I feel like we're going to cry. And I'd rather be laughing than crying most of the time. So when it comes to some of the more serious topics in here, I want to hit you with a couple here, if that's okay. Mm.
Sure.
Okay. So what are some of the biggest problems or let's say, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see modern moms making today when they have the best of intentions, they love their kids, but they're doing things that are maybe hurting their kid more than it's helping them?
Yes, that is an excellent question, Jess. I have to say that was like a really
good
one.
Thank you.
That was a good one because it's thought provoking. So a couple things that come to mind. One, I talk a lot about breaking generational cycles and being more in tune with yourself as a parent in order to connect with your children properly. So I think the first one I would say is not reparenting yourself in order to parent your child better. That's a whole other topic we could talk about completely, but sometimes getting stuck in the same cycles that maybe our family, and I'm not saying this isn't the case for everyone's families, but getting caught in the same cycle that your parents and grandparents and great grandparents may have been in to break those cycles in order to parent better. So that's a big one. And what do I mean by that? Let me explain a little bit. It means like how to connect with your children, how to respect your children as individuals, to speak kindly to them, to not always criticize them, you know, all the things that some parents may have done 30, 40, 50 years ago, that now we're teaching our children a different way, a softer way, maybe a kinder way. So there's that. So that's one that I would definitely say. Another one that is a big topic lately online is using your children as content. And
oh my gosh, I'm so glad you said that. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say on this topic. Good.
This is like a very new thing that people are finally having this aha moment that kids are not content. And, you know, a few months ago, there was this challenge going on TikTok called the egg crack challenge, where kids were like, parents were like cracking an egg on children's faces. And the kids were like, sometimes they were crying and sometimes they were like so shocked, like, why would mommy do that to me? Like, why that hurt? Why would you do that, mommy? And so people were doing it as, you know, as part of this challenge, this, you know, way to sort of get like eyeballs and attention and clout online. And it made a lot of people say, wait a second, is that really how we want to treat our children? Not only in our own home, but like publicly, you know, like that's going out there for thousands, millions of eyeballs, right? And it's like, let's take a step back and think more intentionally about our children, how we treat them, A, and B, you know, that you're putting that out there and that's going to live on the internet forever. And so that was a big conversation. And then, like I said, going back to having the kids as content, in as much as, you know, if you post your children a lot, there are a lot of different people in the world that may be saving those photos and keeping those photos. So it's just something that many parents are starting to be more intentional about and thinking through in a way that I, you know, didn't even see this maybe 2-3 years ago. Definitely didn't see it 2-3 years ago. Maybe I would almost even say a year ago.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy how things change. Like sometimes I'll get a thing that pops up 10 years ago today, you posted this, and I'm like, delete this as fast as possible. Like, why would I ever share what I was thinking about things in my life? But it was in the infancy of some of these things. And now I'm much more in the area that sounds like you are, where it's like, less is more. Like, you don't need to know all the personal things going on in my life, whether it's going great. I always used to get upset because you'd see these girls and they'd have their boyfriend and this amazing relationships. He's always taking her on awesome trips. Then all of a sudden he's gone and there's no explanation. All the pictures are gone and she's at the Chainsmokers concert. And I'm like, I need answers. I was along on this journey and then I just get left. Like, this isn't fair. When did we meet the Chainsmokers? Why are we behind the DJ booth? What's happening here? It literally just, I just saw that one like a week ago with one of my friends. I'm like, oh, this is too funny.
That is really good.
Back in the game, she's got to let people know. But I think the one thing that I'm thankful for with social media in today's world is like, it just lets you see people's full on mental illness on full display. And it sucks sometimes because I'll meet someone, I'm like, oh, that was such a great person. I love what they're doing. And they're like, maybe kind of soft spoken. And then I'll see their online presence and it's like a selfie every day and all these things revealing. And I'm like, oh man, I really liked you. And now I don't think that I can have you in my life because I'm maturing and I'm getting older and I'm just, you know, learning that yes. that's not it for me. But I see that thing that you're saying with especially people in this space, because before this, I was just a youth speaker traveling around and sure. going to places and not dealing with the parents as much. And now as I've learned and met people like yourself and that have the families and their kids, and so many of them, it's like their family is like the whole backdrop for the account. And so like, I was literally showing someone like, look at this person. They have 500,000 on this platform and that program. And they're not doing it like you, where it's humor and things about other people. It's like all like, oh, it's a, you know, a video of them loving their kid. And I'm like you're literally going to jeopardize every tender, sweet moment you have with your kids and your family to exploit it on the internet for views. And I'm like, that can't be healthy for your family. And that can't be healthy for, especially for your kids. You know, maybe they don't want to have everything out there. And I've seen everyone from the low level people, because social media is just like this PR thing of like, I need you to know that I'm single. I need you to know that I got money. I need you to know that I got abs, that I got a good body. And so it's so funny. It's like, what is this person showcasing? Oh, it's that girl's butt in front of the pyramid, in front of the Eiffel Tower, in front of everything. You're like, we get it. You got a butt on you. But
you're so astute. It's true. It is. It's a lot of that.
Like, what we get it. Like, you don't have to be that smart to figure this out. So for you, when it comes to some of these things with, I like the way you're doing it. I'd like to put that out there first and foremost.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You have an 11-year-old son.
Yes. Yes.
So he's right at the age where kids, I would imagine, are starting to get phones or are about to get phones. They're going to be trying to get Snapchat. They're going to be trying to get TikTok. They're going to be trying to get Instagram. Mm-hmm. What do you see for modern mom props when it comes to technology, the phone, and social media? And how will you kind of navigate those waters with your own son?
Yeah, it is a tricky thing. And it's something that, you know, I said to my friends for a while, there was so much content that I had around when he was three, not pictures of him. I mean, like written content, jokes and stuff like that. And then there's sort of like this grace period where kids are getting older and like they're sort of less funny. And as much as like, there's just not as much of a calamity as everything was when they were toddlers. And now he's moving into his tween years and he is obviously becoming much more aware of, you know, what I do for a living, his place in what I do for a living. I don't show a lot of him. And I do that intentionally because I respect his privacy. I respect him as a person. He does have a friend who found, I guess it was a video that I did last year where he and I were making Christmas cookies and he was like mixing a bowl of Christmas cookies and his friend took that picture and made like a GIF of it. And it's just like Jack, like just stirring the Christmas cookies. So they were like teasing him, but playfully teasing him about that. So yes, like I am obviously very conscious about that. And as he continues to grow up and age, like I have to be more intentional about that so that I don't jeopardize my relationship with him in any way. Because if at any point he and I, like if our relationship were jeopardized, I would just pack it in. I would pack up the entire thing and forget about it because he's the single most important thing to me in the entire world. And so there's nothing, you know, that I would do to jeopardize that. Is he sometimes in my videos? Yes. But the other thing is too, I actually pay him because many times that's something, you know, with the family vloggers is that they're not always like, the children are not always compensated for their time. But for me, with him, I think like you deserve to be compensated. If you're doing work and if you're sitting down and we're, I don't know, doing a video or something like that, you deserve compensation. And so I always compensate him for that as well and put that money away.
I like to see you respecting those Macaulay Culkin laws.
Yes. It might not be, it's true. It might not be much. It might be like $100 here or there, but it's enough to you know, show him that I respect his time and that I respect his attention and you know, going along with all of that kind of stuff. But it's interesting, you know, even for me, the older I get, the further away I am from the toddler years and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so obviously my account is sort of going to change because I'm not speaking from a first person perspective talking about, oh, the newborn phase. Like, did I have a newborn phase? Yes, but it was 10 years ago. And so it's different. So my account will continue to evolve as we evolve as a family.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Do you worry, because you talk to kids today, they're going to say, I want to be an influencer. I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be famous. You know, that's what they're telling me when I'm talking to them. And
you see a lot of kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny how that's consistently, no matter where you go. And then it's a question, well, what do you want to be like famous for? And a lot of times there's nothing there. They just want, oh, so you just want like a life where you, it's the glamorous life that you don't work and you just get to have fun and travel. And okay. Yeah. Everyone wants that. We all want that, I think. What do you see? Has Jack kind of like ever not thrown it in your face, but been able to leverage like, well, what do you mean? Like, that's what you do. And so shouldn't I be able to be on these platforms? Like what age does he get a phone and what does his relationship with that phone look like? Like, are there some rules that you have for moms?
Yes, I do. For all of those questions, I have an answer. One, I'm laughing, okay, almost laughing out loud because right before we jumped on this call, I was editing a video for a client. And the video premise is this. It's a mom asking her son, what do you want to be? And he says, YouTuber. And she's like, what about a lawyer? And he says, YouTuber. And what about a doctor? And he says, YouTuber. And And what about a construction worker? And he says, YouTuber. And so I'm laughing because I was just editing that video right before we jumped on. Oh, so yes, yeah. My son actually does want to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, I do have a bit of a leg up in as much as I am proficient at social media and video editing and all of those things. And so, yes, we do have those skills. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe he'll follow in his father's footsteps and become a doctor. But I don't know. That remains to be seen. but then answering your question about tips for phone usage and screen yes. time, I do have those. So he does not have a phone yet, but for Christmas, he will be receiving one, but it won't have the internet. It's okay. only a phone and texting. That's it. So if he goes, you know, to a friend's house and says, "Mom, come pick me up," something like that, that's it. So there's no internet on that phone. It's actually through a company called Bark, which has an app, which I'm sure you're familiar with that. So that's his usage there. But he does have an iPad, and when he games and talks to his friends on the iPad, because it does have like FaceTime on it, we always make sure that he is in a common area in the house so that we can mm-hmm. hear what they're talking about. And not that we're, you know, involved in the conversations, but if he is playing at the kitchen table, we can make sure that things don't go south or that they're talking about anything that they shouldn't be talking about, that they're not excluding anyone or being unkind in any of those things. And then the other thing is that when he's done gaming at the end of the day and when he's done chatting with his friends, we take the iPad back and keep it in our bedroom or put it in the hallway so that he doesn't have access to it. And so those are probably two of my biggest rules that I always suggest other people do is one, have your children play and talk in a common area, and then two, take the device away at night.
I love it. And how does your son deal with those rules? It's kind of, I'm guessing those were the rules from day one. So it wasn't like, oh, you had free reign, because that's something a lot of parents come to us and they're like, well, how do we do it now? They have Snapchat and they got streaks on Snapchat and all these things. You know, Lord forgive, we end a streak. And how do we take it away now? So the earlier that you can be on the same page, kind of how did you approach the conversation? Was it a conversation? Was it a contract?
That's a good question. I feel like it was just something that we sort of just started doing. It was just practice. It was just like those like micro habits, you know, of that he was doing it in the kitchen, that at the end of the night I said, okay, you know, time to hand it back. And then he would hand it back. So we never really had a conversation nor a contract about that. And again, it's not a perfect system. Sometimes he plays longer than I would love for him to play in that course of the day. But we have this other thing too, is like, as long as he's chatting with his friends on FaceTime, that sort of tends to extend his screen time a little bit, because there's something about playing collaboratively with your friends versus playing by yourself in a dark room is very different from a social perspective.
Especially if he's doing it in the open space where you guys are around, because I don't see a lot of productive kind conversations happening in video games from what I've seen when they're on their own. And it's just saying the most awful things they can say while competing and trying to shoot each other there. So
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. They're like, I've had parents that are like, well, you know, it's like a social communication. I'm like, let's talk about like what kind of conversations it's having. And it's just them talking smack to each other. And that's probably putting it generously and that kind of thing. So I love it. Did you ever see the Bark documentary that they did? I'll have to send it to you after this.
Send it to me, please do.
Yeah, it kind of, the thing that, there's always these things that will stand out to you, I feel like, it when you watch something, right? And on that one, it was like they broke down the internet and, you know, a third of it is pornography. And so it's like, if you took your kid and you put them in a room and you put three magazines on there, and one's a sports magazine and one's a, you know, maybe an entertainment magazine. And then there's a nude magazine, and you left the room and you said, all right, just police yourself and do whatever you want. Like, what do you think is going to happen if there isn't some sort of systems in place to protect them against their very, you know, human nature and hormones and everything that they have going on? And I meet so many families that the kids don't have any type of rules or guidance, or parents checking in on them. They don't have the bark phones and that kind of things. And you're just like, and then a parent like you, who's doing, you know, the very best they can to raise a confident, happy, successful, you know, son full of character, all the other kids are getting to do all these things. So then it becomes like, but all the other kids are on Snapchat, all the other kids are this. And you're like the bad person for actually having a standard and a plumb line for what's acceptable for raising a good kid. That irritates me to no end. So I love that you're doing that. And I want to urge the parents and moms who see this so much more, so they can find more in the book, but also, how does the podcast work? What kind of guests do you have on there? What type of conversations? What can people expect? Because I think after this, they're all going to want to come over and check that out because of the humor and the entertainment aspect along with it.
Oh, gosh, I hope they do. Yeah, so the podcast is called Modern Mom Probs, and I have a huge variety of different types of guests. I often have best-selling writers. I love having authors come on the show, and I'm constantly reading parenting books, which is why I think I've gotten so good at this whole parenting gig thing, is because I'm always reading parenting books. So I have many authors of parenting books come on the show, so we discuss those. I have other content creators who come on, and we talk different things about, you know, influencer culture and people being influenced by things, that we're more aware about what we're consuming. And so we're not just sort of blindly going through life, right? I have a lot of parenting coaches. I have pediatricians. Gosh, I have just about anybody you could think of. Well, maybe not anybody, but I do have—
No astronauts.
Not yet. I should.
I think you'll get there though.
Maybe next season we're going to look into some astronauts. But I've even had, you know, people come on speaking about investments for retirement and life insurance, and really it runs the gamut from parenting coaching to, like I said, influencer culture to setting up your retirement in the unfortunate event that you pass untimely. There are just so many different things that we talk about. If it falls underneath the umbrella of a modern mom problem, I'm going to address it.
Ugh, I love it. I feel like you're kind of using this podcast as an excuse to talk to people that you're like inspired by or you like, and you're like, well, I got this thing, you know, we should have a chat. It's pretty cool to do that, right?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
I love it. So you said the thing about parenting authors and getting some on there, not that any are better than others, but do you have maybe like top three books that you think every parent should read? Obviously yours is one of them, but outside of that, what are a couple other ones that you could recommend for parents? And I'm writing these down myself.
Write them down. Tomorrow I am going to be interviewing Dr. Eliza Pressman. She is the host of a podcast called Raising Good Humans, and she has a new book coming out called 5 Principles of Parenting. It's an excellent book, so I highly recommend that. Okay. There's another book called Chaos to Calm, and it's a woman. Her name is Dana Abraham. Okay. And her book is fantastic. I really, really enjoyed her book as well. There's another book by a woman. I feel like all of these women have podcasts. There's a book by a woman named Alyssa Blask Campbell, and it's called Tiny Humans, Big Emotions. And that is how to raise children with, I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm not going to get the title exactly right, but it's something along the lines of how to raise emotionally intelligent children. Wow. So teach children how to have a high EQ. And so those are three off the top of my head that I've read and said, you know, these are great parenting books. Now, of course, there are some other parenting books that people send me that are more focused on like motherhood and taking care of yourself as a mother and as a parent. But that's a separate kind of conversation.
It's a lot of work being a mom, isn't it? It's a lot of work being a human. It's a lot of work being a kid. It's just a lot of work to be alive, huh?
It is, especially when you're intentional about things. You know, and I think that's going back to the conversation we were having earlier about, you know, what's different between parenting in 2024 versus parenting in, I don't know, 1984, is the intentionality of all of it. You know, we're working hard to be good parents, to raise good humans. And years ago, it's not that our parents didn't want us to, of course they did, but it wasn't sort of the sport that it is now. It's not, you know, the huge parenting industry that it was now. People just like, they procreated and then they had these kids and they had to raise them, right? And that was about it. And so now parenting is a huge multi-billion dollar industry. And so I think the intentionality that goes into that is a really big thing.
Yeah, it has changed so much. Like you said, they're the full gamut, and we know more than we used to know. And so it's like, all right, well, what am I doing for like their health and for the foods that I'm putting in their body? Mm-hmm. Like we just did some stuff the other day with some genetic testing where you can find out kind of what's going more and what type of maybe vitamins you need to supplement. Yeah, so amazing. So you have the lady tomorrow that is going to be awesome that you're doing on your podcast.
Yep.
Is there any like little nuggets from your past podcasts that have stood out to you? Because I feel like every time I sit down with someone, I'm getting like a front row seat at the masterclass with someone, whether they have, no matter what their background is, like they have a whole life experience that I don't have. And there's some gems in there. Do you have a couple that's really stood out to you that you're like, wow, I never thought about it that way. Or I really like maybe approaching this situation when it comes to parenting, that maybe changed the way you look at the world?
Yes. I think the biggest thing for me as a parent and as a person is part of the conscious parenting movement. Yeah. And what that is to check in with yourself before you react to your child. And, you know, when my son was younger and before I became more aware of this, I used to just sort of react. And now instead of just reacting, I take a step, I wait a beat, and then I think about it, and then I react. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about being sort of a cycle breaker, right? Is not just instantly reacting for every single thing that happens. It's just to say like, okay, let me take a second. Let me regulate my own nervous system. Let me regulate myself before I speak and before I react to the situation. And once I started doing that, I think that made all the difference.
I love it. Yeah. That isn't it. Controlling our emotions is kind of a big deal. It makes a pretty big difference. Mm-hmm. I love it. We have a thing we call the red zone, the psychological red zone. So when you're on that 7 out of 10 or higher, and feeling agitated, anxious, depressed, all those things. All right. Exactly what you said, take a step back and like, all right, let's really think this through and not be reactionary. So, anytime things are like in alignment with the things that we believe and teach, I'm always like super excited. So last question for you here. If you were going to go back and you are just about to start your parenting journey again and everything you know now, what would be the piece of advice that you'd give yourself?
It's a great question. Gosh, two things maybe. Stay off social media a little bit because there's just
love it.
So much information overload and comparison that goes into it. You know, trust your gut. Obviously, you need to read up on information, valid information sometimes, because you do need to know what to do in certain situations. But for the most part of mindless scrolling, stay away from the mindless scrolling. And then two, going back to what I just said a minute ago, was regulating your emotions. I think that is such a big thing. It's taken for granted, you know, and I don't think that enough people, adults, not even just children, think through that. You know, sometimes we'll be at the supermarket. Just the other day, we were at the supermarket and there was a father that he was like snapping at the daughter. The daughter, she was a little toddler, and she like grabbed his phone and he like snapped at her. And I thought to myself, it broke my heart, because all he needed to do was just like wait a beat, take a breath, and then react to her, you know? And that's the kind of stuff. And again, I had a toddler, so I know what it's like, but it's those little micro habits that, you know, make a big difference over time. It's the regulation, like I said, of your emotions, of your nervous system, all of those things before you react, because that's how you're able to build a really solid foundation and connection with your children. When you're regulated, they see that, right? They're going to mirror your vibes. So if you're regulated, hopefully they could stay regulated or a little bit more regulated than they otherwise would be, because it's hard when children are young and they're having a difficult day. Yeah. But that's probably the two things that I would say. One, cut down on scrolling social media, and two, be aware of your regulation.
Oh, so good. I love it. I just want to take a second to acknowledge you. It could have been easy to continue doing what you were doing with the more funny route, but to go and have a bigger impact and be able to help people in the way that you are is so awesome. And I just want to see you take this so far in any way that I can help. Please let me know. I would love, love, love to be a part of that. So there's the Instagram account, Modern Mom Probs. There's the podcast, Modern Mom Probs, and the book, Modern Mom Probs. Yep. Survival. How does it go?
It's a Modern Mom Probs, a survival guide for 21st century mothers.
Exactly. Okay. That was it. And I realized I lied. I do have one more question. What are you doing with these boxes for moms?
This is something
that is really cool too. Yes. So what is this?
Yeah, sure. So I have the Modern Mom Style Box. It is a clothing rental subscription service for busy moms. And if members sign up, they receive a box with three items of clothing that they could swap out as many times as they would like in the course of a given month. And then they send back. And so that you always have new stylish clothes. But I'll tell you a quick story, the origin story of this.
Yes.
20 years ago, after I had graduated college, I didn't have a lot of money for work clothes. I worked in an office. And so each day I was sort of mixing up this blouse with those slacks and, you know, mixing and matching to get through my Monday through Friday work week. And I remember I was at a business lunch and I said to my coworkers, you know what would be great? If there was a company where you could like rent your work clothes and then send them back when you're done. And everyone straight up laughed at me. And they were at this point probably like 15 years my senior. And they were like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. No one would ever do that. Like that would never fly. And then, you know, a few years after that, Rent the Runway came out. And I was like, that's my idea. You know, like shaking my fist at the sky. And then I had the opportunity to start Modern Mom Style Box, and I jumped at it because I was like, this was my idea 20 years ago. So the moral of the story is never give up on your dreams.
Yes, yes.
Because you never know when they're going to come true.
Yeah, and it will come full circle and be an even better dream than you started with.
Exactly.
Oh, so good. Yeah, because when I was checking out the box, I was like, oh, wait, I've heard of this, but I think it's the one you were talking about, the runway, Rent the Runway. And then now you're able to do it for your niche and have it be an even cooler thing. So that's so awesome. So where do people go if they want to check that out? And we'll link all this stuff in the show notes, but the specific site for it.
Yes, it's modernmomstylebox.com.
You got the good branding, I'll tell you that. Is there anything else that we didn't touch on that our moms should check out or know about, or are those the?
I think we covered everything, soup to nuts. Yeah.
Get in the community, and any new things you'll be able to find out from the horse.
Exactly. Come join, be part of the community.
Yay! Thank you so much. I really was excited to talk to you today, and continued success. Let's get that 1 million.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me. This was a great conversation.